I wish I had a dollar for every time someone has asked me, how much should I give back to the Lord? And it is a good question. It's a good thing to be thinking about. But I would challenge you, is that really the right question? I mean, it's all His. You know that, right? It's all His. Now, who's the Creator that formed the heavens and the earth and everything in them by His very words? Jesus. It's all His. So I'm going to read you some scripture. The Apostle Paul wrote these words by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to the church at Colossae in 1 Colossians, 1st chapter of Colossians, verse 13. He, and that is the Father, has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Is that not beautiful? The kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Hey, that's the gospel. That's the great news. God has sent the Son He loved to buy us back from sin through His blood as the sacrifice, the Passover lamb, for our forgiveness so that we can be with Him. Because God can't have people with Him who are in sin. So when He looks at me, He sees the blood of Jesus. He doesn't see my sin. Verse 15, He is the image, that's Jesus, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and in earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him, and He is before all things. And in Him all things consist. They hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have preeminence. It's all His. So how much is enough? I think maybe we should be asking what we should not give to the Savior. But we want to figure. We want to set percentage, don't we? That makes it easier. Maybe there should be a sliding scale according to how much you make. Maybe. Now, Steve Forbes, a few election cycles ago, he was peddling the idea of a flat tax. And let me let you know that the rich people love a flat tax. Rich people love it because it just keeps it right down here. Very, very manageable. Some people want to say, hey, the flat tithe, oh, that's great. But according to how much income you have, 10% could be a lot. 10% could be very manageable. So how much is enough to give back to Jesus, the Savior, for His kingdom purposes? Not to the church, right, Bill? I mean, you corrected yourself. Where'd he go? He's gone. But to Jesus. And where would we go to discover what we're supposed to give? Well, Google, of course, right? No. And not even your favorite teacher or preacher. Let's look at Mark's gospel at the end of what we call the 12th chapter and see what Jesus talked about when He was walking the earth. Now, you do know that Mark, when the Gospel of Mark was written, it didn't have chapters and verses. If this is news, I just need to let... There were not chapters and verses. But we put those in, as translators put those in, so that we could find things. Give it an address, right? So we could find things quickly. That's why they're there. So sometimes when I put scripture on, I take all the numbers out. Because it's not about the numbers. It's about what's going on with the words and what was recorded, what the Holy Spirit was speaking. So we're going to read Mark verses 12, verses 41 through 44. This is a really short passage of Scripture. So get ready. Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury. And many who were rich put in much. And then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which makes a quadrants. So he called his disciples to himself and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who had given to the treasury, for they all put in out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood." Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for teaching us, and maybe not the way we would want to be taught, but the way we need to be taught. So, Lord, would you speak to us through your word? We have just sung that in a musical prayer, that you would speak to us and open our eyes and ears so that we can hear what you're saying through your Spirit today through your word. Because you have the words of life. Speak, please, Lord Jesus. Get me out of the way and let your truth come. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jesus had returned to the temple. He's in Jerusalem, right? The temple's in Jerusalem, up on the mountain. And he's there again to teach the crowds, and in particular to teach his disciples. He sits down in this area where people would bring monetary offerings for the upkeep of the temple, the place where the Jews and the nations come to worship and pray to Yahweh, the great I Am. So this is an area that's kind of the main entrance courts to the temple. Now, even then, giving was an act of worship. It still is today. It was intended to be this sincere act of admitting that what one had was a blessing from God. In obedience according to the law, people returned a portion of what they were blessed. And some had more and some had less, just like today. It's not different. Spiritually, this was important because it was a personal admission of the origin of the blessing of provision. So spiritually, you're saying, all of this that I have is from you, Lord. That's what you're saying. When you give, that's what you say. So practically, the offerings were used to support the Levites, who were the tribe or the big family charged with handling the business of the tabernacle, and now today, or in this day when Jesus was on the earth, the temple. Someone had to take care of handling the sacrifices, gathering supplies, guarding the tabernacle or temple, and maintaining the cities of refuge, all these things that the Lord gave the task to the Levites. Some were even singers. Hey, I like that. I like that. And they sang the Psalter, all these psalms. We read one today. They were all songs, and they would sing those. The people would memorize them and sing them as they headed to Jerusalem, some of them. The Levites, the priests, they were not given land to farm. So they were dependent upon the people's offerings. And the rest of the tribes of Israel were given portions of the promised land to live on. So they would make money off the land. The Levites were dependent on the offerings that those people brought. We still kind of practice that today, by the way. Many people in ministry rely on the offerings of people that have land, that have property, that have businesses and jobs. And that's how those ministers are supported, them and their families. So that was a little commercial, parenthetic. But back to the scene that Mark's describing. And remember that Mark's describing a scene that Peter told him about, right? Peter Mark got his information from Peter. So Jesus sits down in the court of the Gentiles in view of these things called trumpets. Have you got a picture of that? See, that's a rendition. You know, what they look like for sure, I don't know. Hey, Stephen, why do horns and trumpets, why do they bulge out there at the end?
Just adds resonance to the sound, makes them louder.
Makes them louder, right. So obviously, when people put funds in those, they would make noise because they didn't have paper and plastic back then. They had what? Coins. They had coins. So the people would come and they would drop things in these metal funnels that emptied into these wooden chests. There were 13 of these in the temple courts. There's quite a few. And six of them were just for the required half shekel offering for the temple. You know, the temple was a pretty big place. There were a lot of people visiting. There was a lot of work that had to be done around there. Cleaning, key upkeep, refurbishing, all these kinds of things. You had to bring in wood and different things like that to make sure the offerings are burning. There's just different things that had to be done. And so this half shekel was something that everybody over 20 years old would pay once a year. And they would do that in the year of Nisan. And that's like the springtime. So their calendar was a little different than ours because they did a lunar calendar. But think March, April. So March, April, before March or April, everybody had to do that once a year. I'm not sure how they kept up with that. I guess they just, you know, they trusted people to do it. That was the main income for the temple and the things that needed to be done around the temple. Because every Jewish person was supposed to do that. Whether you lived in, another word, if you lived in Spain, or what's now Spain, or if you lived in Egypt, because there were Jews in Egypt, wherever you lived, you were supposed to pay that temple tax, temple offering, okay? So they would figure out ways to get it there, or they would, if you were a good Jew, you would come once, at least once a year to do those, to give offerings and to make sacrifices. So there's these other trumpets. So there were six, so there were seven trumpets that were for other offerings. And there were all these other offerings are kind of lumped into one called free will offerings. And that was what people would give at free will. Now some of them were given for sacrifices, like they would give certain sacrifices to buy doves for cleansing sacrifices and different things like that. There were some of that, but for the most part, these other trumpets. Oh, they're gone now. Think of this as a trumpet. Look what I found in the kids' room. It's a gold box. Isn't that cool? And you don't need to know what that's on top of it. It's not quite a trumpet, but it's metal, okay? So Jesus is sitting across from those, and a widow comes, and she gives her, I want you to listen. This is what she gives. I got two pennies here. See what it sounds like. Okay, not much, just a little pink, right? And then there were all these rich people, and they would come up, and they would do this. Or maybe make lots of noise. You ever heard in Scripture, or remember in Scripture, it says sounding the trumpets? That's one way to sound the trumpets, to give a whole bunch and make sure everybody hears it. Undoubtedly, Jesus sits with his disciples facing some of the free will trumpets when he sits down with them. But the other receptacles would have been boring to hear the half shekel over and over. It'd been monotonous, right? It wouldn't have been But this was like, wow, something's happening here. And then Jesus says to his disciples, "Assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all of those who've given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all she had, her whole livelihood." But it was such a small amount. Could you hear the tinkle? Ding. So how much is enough? Notice what Jesus did not say. He did not say, "That's enough." But he said, "She gave it all." They were all there to worship Yahweh, the great I Am. At least we hope. People from all over the world coming to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Passover. This is the time of year when the Jews were remembering and paying homage to Yahweh, who brought them out of Egypt, out of slavery, to give them this land where the temple had been built. Hopefully some of them were really grateful. Speaking of grateful, do you have reason to be grateful? Do you have reason to be thankful? If you've been born again, if you've been forgiven, what is that worth? What are you willing to give in worship to the one who gave his life for you? Or maybe the other. What should you not give? Years and years ago, I knew Jesus, but I wasn't following him. You say, how do you do that? Well, you leave and you go do your own thing. And when Nancy and I got married, I didn't have any intention of giving anything to the church. We had just barely getting by. I mean, we're just barely getting anywhere. And even when I finally got a job, and I was making a decent wage. Not we weren't getting rich by any means. But I still wasn't giving. And I remember hearing a sermon. And the preacher talked about giving from the first fruits, from the top. And I think I had started to kind of think about, well, maybe I could give after taxes and after the bills and after this and after that. And it just stuck with me. And it took years after that even to finally get to a place. And our finances were a mess. I'll just be honest with you. Our finances were a mess. We were pretty regularly spending more than we came in. You know what happens when you do that? It gets to be a mess fast. And then I began to realize, and I'm trying to remember all the details, but I began to realize, and I took this on as the Lord speaking to me, that the bottom, the floor for Michael and his family was 10%. It was a start. When I began to give from the first fruits, and I decided in my heart that that was what I needed to do because the Lord was convicting me of that, it was hard. We had to rearrange our lives. I had bought a car, and we couldn't afford it. So I had to sell it. I had to lose money on it to sell it so that we could get out from under the payment. I remember getting up in front of the church and saying, we're messed up financially. And I need you to help. I need you to pray for us. Now, this was when I wasn't in ministry or anything like that. I was just, we're just Joe. We're just just like everybody else. Wasn't that long ago, really. And we started doing that. And when we practically and spiritually began to place God and His kingdom work before our want to use whatever we had, He began to write our finances. It was a process. It didn't happen overnight. But it began to write our finances, because there's this amazing thing that happens that we started looking at things differently. We started looking at things like they're His instead of they're mine. Because it really was His. I wish I could tell you that everything was hunky-dory, because it was a struggle. There was disagreements. There was like, well, we need to do this. No, we need to do what God's... And then one day, after finally getting things kind of taken care of, and even God blessing us in ways that we had no idea that He was going to do that, we're in a situation where we're doing well. For all the people around us, we're doing fine. And then He said, give it all. That's part of the reason I'm standing here. Because I wanted to hold on to stuff. I had a cush government job. We had no debt. Everything was... We went on vacation to plan the next vacation. And I'm not talking mission trips. I'm talking vacations. It was, where do you want to go fish next? Where do we want to go to the beach next? Where do we want to do this next? And it wasn't audacious or anything like that, but it was just this mindset of, and He began to sour my affections for all the things around me. We lived in a little town in Idaho. I had the Land Cruiser. I had the motorcycle. I had the snowmobiles. I had the boats. We had all the toys. I even built the barn to put all the toys in to keep them safe, you know. And then He said, I want it all. I wish I could tell you that, boy, it's just a wonderful thing and it's so easy once you just give it all up. It's a daily thing to surrender and go. Yesterday, I don't know how the Lord's going to deal with this, but yesterday I pulled a I pulled a gun out of the safe. A gun that I had bought a few years ago. Still in the box. I haven't used it. Haven't shot it. And a friend was over and I was showing it to him, and I looked at how much I paid for it. I sold a gun to get this gun, but I'm looking at it going, I haven't used it in 3 years. I bought it 3 years ago. Why don't I even have it? And Nancy said, well, you need to go fill the freezer. I'm like, but I didn't need it. I've got others. I didn't need it. It's a nice one. But I didn't need it. And I'm even this morning, I'm like, it's all yours. That's not mine. So what am I going to do with that? I wish I could tell you it's easy, but it's not. Many of us saw last week, when we looked at a budget for the church for the coming year, what it takes to keep the doors open and the lights on, plus giving to some missionaries who are taking the gospel to the nations. It's just awesome. And we all have a part in that. But that's just to keep the lights on and keep the doors open. And the reality is, and I don't know who you are or who you're not, but the reality is that only a few families of this congregation give the vast majority of the offerings that provide for the needs, provide for the staff, provide for the ministries of the church. So what is your free will offering? What will you decide in your heart to give as a free will offering to His work and ministries from the resources that God has entrusted you to steward? We all get time, talent, and treasures. And we all have the same amount of time. The clock turns and we all have the same amount of time. Some of us will live longer than others, but we all get the same amount of time. We each have particular talents and abilities and passions. And you may say, well, I'm not wealthy. I don't have treasures. But, you know, the United States is the wealthiest nation in the world. I looked it up. I'm like, are we really the most? We really are the wealthiest nation in the world. Even the poorest in our country are rich compared to other parts of the world. So maybe we ought to ask, how do we give? The Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, in his second letter to the church at Corinth, he gave us these words. The Holy Spirit said through Paul, or had Paul write this down, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful," or may say hilarious, is actually where the word comes from, giver. When's the last time you heard somebody just yelling and laughing when they went and put something in the box? I had an associate pastor years ago, and he started doing that. It was hilarious. I mean, it was funny because he'd come in and just say, hey! Put a check in there. It was like, oh my. He's kind of funny. You may give only a little out of your limited resources. The widow gave just a little, but she gave it all. But know that the Savior sees you. And you may be able to give much more because of what the Lord has given you to steward. Know that the Lord sees you too. This is not about making the church treasurer or finance committee happy, or even just keeping the doors open. It's about honoring the one to whom we owe it all. We give in worship. You may not give everything to the church. You may give to other kingdom causes. We do. But Newport Church, do you want to eventually call a pastor and his family to come and serve with you? Well, right now, the bottom line is there's not enough money coming in to support them. We barely have enough in reserves to even invite somebody to come and candidate and be able to reimburse their expenses when they come. Praise God, we have reserves. But that's not going to get it. I've talked about the possibility of putting in a parsonage so that pastor and his family have a place to live. It's kind of retro. But it may be one way that this church can afford to call somebody. And it might be used as something else in the future. Once the church can take care of that. Maybe it's a mission house. Can you imagine? Wow. If I was a missionary and needed to take a break with my family to come here, wow. That'd be a cool thing. And maybe even that you are able to call other staff in the future. There's 20 acres here to work with. But an endeavor like this isn't free. And as I said last week at the business meeting, there's no Baptist Vatican. Hope y'all know that. There's no Vatican that we call and say we need money. We are an autonomous church. We have what we give. You know, there were some remarkable volunteers who were willing to come and help build this building years ago. I mean, there were a lot of people here that worked on it, right? But there were a lot of volunteers that came. We've been part of that before. What would it look like for us to give hilariously? So today, as I wrap up, I want to consider two questions, or consider a different question. What should we hold back from giving to the Lord as we sojourn through this world? You know, young people, you know, we're almost home, that song before. You know, when I was 19, 20, early 20s, I'm like, even mid-20s, I'm like, really? Are we going to keep singing these songs? The older you get, the sweeter it is to think about going home. But when you're young, it's like, oh, I got the world in front of me. There's all these things that could happen. Well, we are sojourning through this world, and we need to always remember that. He gave it all so that we could have it all. And have you accepted that most valuable gift ever? It was a free gift, but it wasn't an inexpensive gift. It cost Jesus his life, and he gave it. He was brutally executed for my sin and for your sin. Have you accepted that gift? Because you have to accept it. You believe on him that he really was who he says he was and is. Jesus told Nicodemus that night when he came to visit. He said, Nicodemus, God so loved the world, that is humankind, that he gave his only son, that whoever believes on him would not perish into eternal death, but would enjoy everlasting life. That's a Michael paraphrase, by the way. Don't try to find that. But church, the Spirit of Christ is here. He is wooing us to follow him. He's waiting for us. It may be that you need to accept him and his gift first. Because that's what he really wants. And out of that acceptance, we give in worship. Out of what he's done for us, we give. We give of our time. We give of our talents. We give of our treasures. Today could be the day of salvation for you. If you don't know Christ as Savior, if you need his forgiveness, All you need to do is ask Him. If you need somebody to help walk you through that, we would be glad to do that today. In church, the Spirit of Christ Jesus is at work in and around us. I hope you're seeing that. Praise God. We've had 5 baptisms in like the last month. Praise the Lord. What is it worth to join Him in expanding His kingdom in the hearts and lives of people in Ponderay County, in the Northwest, and in the world? Don't miss out. We're going to have a time now, after I pray, of remembering. And Brother Rob's going to come and lead us during this time. But I wanted to put this up here so that we looked at it, or that you looked at it. I can't see it because I'm turned around. But that you looked at it through the whole service. This do in remembrance of me. He wants us to remember what He has done for us in worship. And we remember what He's done for us in worship as we give back to Him what's already His. And it doesn't have to be a little bit. If you ever heard somebody say, "Lord, we give you back," they're praying, "Lord, we give back a little bit." And it, okay, it is a little bit, but we give out of our abundance back to Him. And it doesn't have to be a little bit. Lord, you gave it all so that we could have eternal life. Jesus, we thank you. We are so blessed. We are so blessed to be able to have a nice, comfortable room to come and gather and praise you and pray to you and sing to you and give to you, and now to remember. You've given us so much. And Lord, you don't want fancy sacrifices. You make that clear in your word. You want our hearts. You want our obedience and our faithfulness. You want us to follow you. And you are worthy. You have proved that. So Lord, help us. As we sang in the song, help us in our unbelief. Open our eyes and ears even during this time of worship through the Lord's Supper. Have your way among us. And Lord, if there's someone in this room that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, who doesn't know forgiveness in Jesus, Lord, let this be the day that they come to you and receive the greatest gift that was ever given. Lead us, Lord, as we continue to worship.